10-minute speaker is Lori A. from San Diego.
Hi, everybody.
Hi, Lori.
I'm Lori, and I'm an alcoholic. And I will need 5 volunteers who are willing to be nervous with me. Could I see a show of hands? Thank you. That helps a lot. I'm going to spend a few minutes reading a short story, and then I'll move on to share my experience, strength, and hope with you. At my very first meeting, I met my very first sponsor, who gave me my very first assignment: watch The Wizard of Oz. I draw many parallels to Dorothy with myself, so I'll be floating in and out of her, she and me. The movie starts in stark black and white with a great big tornado coming. I'm already getting the connection here. Bad things start to happen. She loses her beloved best friend, Toto, has a serious accident, and has another blackout, starts hallucinating, and is taken to a very scary place. Okay, enough about my alcoholism. I'll get back to the movie. So now Dorothy's wandering through the set, and she comes across a scarecrow, and the scarecrow wants a brain. She's thinking maybe her stinking thinking could use an overhaul, too. Next, she meets the cowardly lion, and at this point, I think, does he represent all my fears, my weaknesses, and my faults? He's a big part of this journey, irritating as hell, but I better take him along. Move on to the Tin Man. He's just as rigid as he can be. He needs oil, and he has no heart. Me neither, and I want it back. I miss it. These three have to be the Serenity Prayer on steroids. So they all move on and out and to see what can be accomplished. But first, a very important message. Up in the sky, just as plain as you can see, surrender, Dorothy. You can insert your own name there if you like. And I call that let go, let God. She takes it to heart, but soon enough she's taken hostage, reliving that dark, dangerous place, and realizes that if something doesn't change soon, that hourglass she calls her life is going to run out of sand, and fairly quickly. She gets a glimpse of her life in a crystal ball, step 5, and in good time, she's able to escape with the help of the lion, the tin man, and the scarecrow. And off they go searching for the answers. She and her alter egos take a few unfortunate detours along the way, just as we all do. They also run into some pretty weird characters. There's flying monkeys and little people with funny voices, people flying through the air. And that sounds suspiciously like my first meeting at AA. Temptations, too. Oh, that poppy field. But goodness sake, something's starting to feel better about this journey, because now everything is in color, and that dreary black and white appears to be gone. And the house did fall on the bad guy, gal in this case, the booze bottle. This thinking has to be smashed. Glenda, the good witch, shows up and suggests a path that Dorothy should take along with her buds. Perhaps it's AA. Could she be paving the way to the 12 steps? Because there's that crazy path to the Emerald City and that wizard fella. Lots to absorb, time to sort things out. The wizard's very helpful in many ways, and she does lose some of her initial fear. Pay no attention to that man behind the curtain. Such bravado, we might call that our ego. But the wizard doesn't initially see any easy solution for Dorothy. She believes she's getting restored to sanity, but feels that her heart and her mind work together again, but is still in a confused state. Instinctively, she knows there aren't purple horses. Green and red ones, maybe. But she's willing to accept them and pay attention. Does she have it in her? Then her new sponsor, Glenda, get it, the good witch, comes back and points out that maybe she's had it inside her all along. She just needs to click her heels together, put a dollar in the basket, and repeat after me. There's no place like AA. There's no place like AA. She notices so many parallels that apply to her at Emerald City, and so will you. But this is only my 5-minute version. So you'll have to follow your own yellow brick road. And at the end of the movie, just like a country western song, she gets her mama back, she gets her family back, she gets her doggy back, she gets her house back, she gets her family back, and she gets her heart and soul back. And she only had one lockup along the way. Pretty good, huh? But that's all history now. So she won't forget this experience, and she'll be telling that story more than once, guaranteed. It's her story. And she has appeared to crush that beast inside and found her way back home. Is she cured? We think not. But we know she's trudging the road to happy destiny, the yellow brick road we all seek. And when she says there's no place like home, that's a reminder to keep coming back. Thanks. So now I shall share my story. I started drinking at 14 years old, and my first drunk was a complete blackout. I remember my very good friend, Anastasius Demetrius Velonicus, broke into his father's cabinet and took out ouzo. Oh. And we drank probably half a bottle of ouzo. That was enough. And I really don't remember what happened that evening. I just remember that I woke up in my bed the next day, but evidently I had passed out on the living room floor. And this sounds gross, but my mom told me I had, it looked like a paper towel tube of throw up laying next to me. That's charming, isn't it? And I didn't know I got busted, and I was running for girls' vice president in the junior high. And I said to my mother, who, these were all alcoholics, my whole family was alcoholic, and I said to my mother, Mom, what do you think I should put on my campaign poster? And she said, I don't know, why don't you put a bottle of liquor on it? And I thought, busted. So that was interesting, and I just continued to drink and drink and drink. And one of the things, I guess I'd call myself a high-functioning alcoholic. I didn't lose my home. I never lost a job. You know, I never had a DUI. But even after 11 years of sobriety, I still do the shoulda, coulda, wouldas, and we call that shooting all over ourselves. And I still do that constantly. And I may have shared in here before, I decided, I picked my own sobriety date. I took my niece on a cruise to Hawaii, and we drank and just had a blast going through the Hawaiian Islands. And I decided that when I got back on the plane, I'm going to have one glass of wine just to cut the edge of drinking all that week of Tanqueray and beer and you name it, whatever was there. And that's what I did. When I had one glass of wine on the plane, and when I got, when we landed in San Diego, I got off the plane and I never drank again. I did do my own detox, and that was interesting. I laid in bed for 8 hours, turned the TV on, and watched Judge Wapner's Pet Court for 8 hours. Dogs, cats, pigs, goats, horses, sheep going across his courtroom. And it was a very interesting way to get sober, I must say. my first meeting, I did go to AA right away. I went to a meeting up at the Kearney Mesa Recovery Center. And it was a really rough place. It was NA downstairs, AA upstairs. There was lots of facial hair and tattoos, and that was just the women. This was a really, really rough place. And but brilliant, brilliant, brilliant people. And I was very, very sad when they closed it up and tore it down and condemned the building. That was very sad. Within a year of being sober, I was diagnosed with inoperable lung cancer. And I'm laying in the hospital, and I'm thinking, damn, this isn't fair, man. I'd quit smoking a long time ago. I'm less than a year sober. And the oncologist came in, and she says, you need to get a lawyer and get your will written because this is what you're going to die from. And I guess I had just enough program to look up at her with the tubes in my nose saying, Dr. Parker, I don't see God on your name tag. And I am now considered a miracle because people with this type of cancer, only 2% live past a year. So, you know, I was thinking, this just is not fair. I mean, it's like being in the Roach Motel. I'm going to check in. I'm not checking out. I don't think so. You know, and I remember my niece coming to visit, and she said, do you want me to sneak in some booze? And I said, no, sneak me in some Ben and Jerry's. And so, you know, we can do anything sober. We really, really can. So I never believed that for a minute that something bad was going to happen to me. I do remember the exact moment that I decided to quit drinking. And I only wanted to quit drinking once, and I only wanted to get one 90-day token. That was very important to me. I never wanted to. And I remember laying in bed, and I was listening to the radio, and Jewel, the singer Jewel, was on. And she sang this song, and she sang,
Put on my PJs and hopped into bed. I'm half alive, but I'm mostly dead. And it just hit me right then. I said, that's me, man. She's singing my song. And it was very, you know, shortly thereafter, I said, I'll take the cruise. And then after that, it's all over. So the message I have for newcomers tonight is you don't have to drink no matter what. Death, divorce, disappointment, illness, you don't need to drink. And if there's a couple things, if you only have about 2 seconds to read any of our literature, page 190, is it 191? Or page 91 in our 12 by 12, it's step 10. It says, nothing pays off like restraint of pen and tongue. It actually says nothing pays off like restraint of tongue and pen, but I'm an alcoholic and I want to do it my way. So it's a very appropriate lesson for alcoholics. You know, that's how we get ourselves in trouble by, you know, opening up the pie hole. And I think we all hear, put the cotton in your ears and your, you know, or your cotton in your mouth, excuse me. Strike that, reverse it, as Willy Wonka says. The other thing is to learn patience in this program. And I did that when I was new by getting behind the old lady in the right lane on the freeway. And it just, I said, I just have to stay behind this old lady and learn this patience. So, you know, I was humming and smiling and humming and smiling and humming, but I would never go around her because if I did, it would be like this. Ah, fuck you, bitch. You know, so I just, you know, I needed to tamp that down. And it actually works with practice. So, oh, and that great philosopher Jewel has also shared this with me through song. Nature has a way of breaking that which does not bend. And I'll end with my favorite prayer that I say every morning and every night. Lord, put your arm around my shoulder and your hand over my mouth. Amen. So hang in there and keep coming back to the newcomers. And thank you for letting me be of service.